to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
Welcome to this talk entitled Safety in the Sun. I'm Dr. Trish Murray, physician, author, and the Health Catalyst speaker. Everyone loves the warmth of the sun on their skin. But how much sun is too much sun? What can you do to prevent and treat sunburn? And how do you know if a suspicious spot should be checked out by a professional? Well, you're about to find out the answers to all your sun-related questions. We all need vitamin D. It helps our bones, and without it, we're at risk of conditions like osteoporosis. Vitamin D also helps boost the immune system. When your skin is exposed to sunlight, it manufactures vitamin D. However, letting the sun beat down on you isn't the only way to satisfy your vitamin D quotient. And like my mom always said, everything in moderation. Fatty fish, egg yolks, beef liver, and cheese are all good sources of vitamin D. You can also find milk and orange juice that have been fortified with vitamin D. And if you think you're not getting enough, supplementation is another option for vitamin D. Now, ingredients like zinc oxide and titanium dioxide and other minerals act as a physical sunblock. They actually reflect the UV rays or the ultraviolet rays from the skin. And the white-colored noses on beachgoers back in the 1980s and 1990s were due to these compounds. But thankfully, manufacturers today can make these compounds much smaller so that your sunscreen can blend in with your skin. You see, mineral sunscreens are made with, again, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, usually now in the form of microscopic nanoparticles. And evidence suggests that few, if any, zinc or titanium particles penetrate the skin to reach living tissues. Now, in general, mineral sunscreens tend to rate better than chemical sunscreens in the EWG sunscreen database. Now, what the heck is that? EWG, folks, stands for the Environmental Working Group. The Environmental Working Group is a nonprofit organization that has been working diligently to help us understand the risk of and safety versus toxicity of all of the different chemicals that are out there in our environment in products like sunscreens and makeups and shampoos and body creams and you name it. So the Environmental Working Group is, again, at work for us to protect us from commercial industries that really honestly care about the almighty dollar and don't care about our health. So sunscreens can also contain ingredients that are not safe, such as something called avobenzone or oxybenzone. These are organic chemicals that absorb UV radiation instead of reflecting it away from the skin. But these chemicals can be dangerous. You see, animal studies report lower sperm counts and sperm abnormalities after oxybenzone and octinoxate exposure. And these are the chemicals in many sunscreens. delayed puberty after octinoxate exposure, and altered estrogen cycling for female mice exposed to oxybenzone have been shown in studies. Danish researchers reported that 8 of 13 chemical sunscreen ingredients, particularly allowed in the United States, affect the calcium signaling of male sperm cells in laboratory tests, which the researchers suggest could reduce male fertility. And this was in a journal by the Endocrine Society back in 2016. So again, the best way to be safe in choosing a sunscreen is to actually go to the Environmental Working Group's website. And that website, you may want to write this down, I'll say it again later, but again, I'm going to say it over and over, is the EWG.org website. So EWG.org. And look up the sunscreen products that they rate safe based on toxicity. You see, what they do with commercial products, and it's not just sunscreens, they also do it with makeup and body creams and other things, is they research it, and they will, you can be standing in a, you know, pharmacy or wherever and looking at a product on a shelf, and you can look it up. Even I've looked it up on my iPhone on EWG.org, and they will rate a product green, which means slather it all over yourself and don't worry about it. Yellow, which is moderately toxic or dangerous, so think about it. But if you really have to use it for some reason, use it sparingly. Or red, which means obviously leave it on the shelf, please. Do not use that product and do not put it on your body. So EWG.org, and you look up their sunscreen database, and you can look up just about any sunscreen to figure it out and what's safe and what's not. Now, on many sunscreens, you'll see the SPF, capital letters SPF. What does that stand for? It stands for the sun protection factor and refers to how well a sunscreen can protect against ultraviolet B rays or UVB rays, which cause burning and skin cancer. It could be helpful to think of UVB as burning. So the B is for burning. Another type of radiation called UVA is responsible for age spots and wrinkles, as well as some types of skin cancers. It could be helpful to think of UVA for aging. So the A is for aging in UVA. But overall, remember to choose sunscreens that are labeled, quote, broad spectrum, to ensure that it protects from both UVA and UVB ultraviolet rays. You see, currently, there is no standard in the United States for listing UVA blocking power. In certain European and Asian countries, UVA protection must be listed on the packaging the same way the SPF would be. But here in the United States, the SPF only is telling you the factor that blocks the UVB burning rays and not the UVA rays. Now, every time you use sunscreen, so it's very difficult. It's like, how much should I use? Well, they say use about a shot glass worth, which would be about an ounce to cover your whole body. The other thing that's important is to apply your first coat 15 minutes before you venture outside, and then reapply every 2 hours for as long as you're going to be outdoors in the sun. Now, sunscreens are designed to remain at optimal strength for up to 3 years. This means that you can use leftover sunscreen from 1 year to the next. Some sunscreens will include an expiration date. Discard sunscreen that is past its expiration date. Otherwise, write the date of purchase on the bottle on the label and be sure to throw it out 3 years later. Don't be like myself and my family one time. We were on vacation on a cruise in the Caribbean and we took out our sunscreen and it was more than 5 years old, I think, because of course we live up here in the mountains and we don't use, you know, sunscreen as proliferantly, let's say, as someone living in Florida or Colorado or something like that. But just remember that your sunscreen does last more than the 1 year, but after 3 years, you should discard it. Now, it's better to be safe than sorry. When you're spending a lot of time outdoors, be sure to cover up with lightweight, light-colored clothes. Make it a point to wear a hat with a brim to cover your eyes and scalp. And don't leave your house without sunglasses on a bright day. Additionally, if you're buying chapstick or skin makeup, choose products that include at least a SPF of 15. Just take note that the trace of SPF in foundations or moisturizers likely won't be enough on its own. You still have to layer on regular sunscreen because you need at least an SPF of as high as 30 for optimal protection. And of course, as I said before, check out EWG.org to assess safety versus toxicity of your makeup products, your creams, and your sunscreens. Now let's go over some very important information and statistics about skin cancer. More than 5.4 million cases of non-melanoma skin cancer were treated over 3.3 million people in the United States in 2012. And this is the most recent year that new statistics were available to be researched. What you have to understand, folks, is that more people are diagnosed with skin cancer in the United States each year than all other cancers combined. So skin cancer is proliferant and can be dangerous, and we're going to go over all of this. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer by the age of 70. The annual cost of treating skin cancers in the United States is estimated to be about $8.1 billion. Now, basal cell carcinoma is the most common form of skin cancer. An estimated 4.3 million cases of basal cell carcinoma are diagnosed in the United States every year. Now, basal cell carcinoma is a cancer that begins in the deep basal cell layer of the epidermis. The epidermis is the outer layer of the skin. Again, it is the most frequent type of skin cancer and is 6 to 8 times more common than malignant melanoma. Basal cell cancer, skin cancer is also slow growing and it never spreads to other parts of the body. So it's the most common and actually the least dangerous. However, it can grow large and it can grow large under the skin and into the spread out. So sometimes if it's let go too long, a person needs a very significant surgery to remove it. So be careful of that. The second type of skin cancer is called squamous cell carcinoma. This is the second most common form of skin cancer. More than 1 million cases of squamous cell carcinoma are diagnosed in the United States every year. Squamous cell carcinoma begins in the squamous cells of the epidermis, that outer layer of the skin, and is not as common as basal cell carcinoma. However, it grows much faster than basal cell carcinoma, especially when located near the eyes, ears, mouth, or the pubic area. Now, chronic exposure to sunlight is the cause of almost all basal cell carcinomas and squamous cell carcinomas, which occur, and they also occur most frequently on, of course, exposed parts of the body, the face, ears, neck, scalp, shoulders, and back. The third type of skin cancer is called melanoma. And this is the most serious form of skin cancer. Melanoma is a malignant tumor that originates in the melanocytes. These are the cells that produce the pigment melanin that actually colors our skin, hair, and eyes, and it's heavily concentrated in most moles. An estimated 196,000 cases of melanoma will be diagnosed in the United States in 2020. Of those, 95,700 cases will be what's called in situ, which means it's non-invasive. They'll be found and taken off your body before they spread any deeper through the epidermis and into the dermis of the skin. So they're non-invasive and called in situ. They are confined to the epidermis, the top layer of the skin. And greater, however, than 100,000 cases will be invasive, which means that it penetrates the epidermis into the skin's second layer, the dermis. And of these invasive cases, 60% of them will be men and 40% of them will be women. Now, across all stages of melanoma, the average 5-year survival rate in the United States is 92%. The estimated 5-year survival rate for patients who melanoma is detected early and is non-invasive or low grade or low stage is about 99%. The survival rate falls, however, to 65% when the disease reaches the lymph nodes and 25% when the disease metastasizes to distant organ systems. So daily use of SPF 15 or higher sunscreen, and really up to as high as 30, reduces the risk of developing melanoma by as much as 50%. And daily use of SPF 15 or higher sunscreen reduces the risk of developing squamous cell carcinoma by about 40%. Now, after all of these presentations, these monthly webinars that I do, I always list in our Discover Health Facebook group a list of resource links that are for anyone to follow and go read more and learn more. So if you are already a member of our closed Discover Health Facebook group, then you can go there tomorrow and get the links. If you are not already a member, all you got to do, if you go on Facebook, is go to Facebook and go to our Discover Health Functional Medicine Center Facebook page and request to join our Discover Health Facebook group. And you will be obviously admitted to the group. Discover Movement will enhance your mobility, build strength, improve balance, and enable you to move with confidence and ease. To register, please visit our Discover Health online shop at members.discoverhealthfmc.com. Now, UVB rays are most active between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So make every effort to limit your time in the direct sunlight during these particular hours of the day. Water, sand, concrete, snow, and ice are all surfaces, folks, that reflect ultraviolet rays and cause more severe sunburn. So further evidence that you should be wearing sunscreen actually year round, even in the winter. So if you're an avid skier or ice fisher person, and you're out on the ice or out on the snow or out in the, you know, if you're in the woods and there's overhang, maybe that's some of your protection. But if you're out in the open, and even in the deep winter and it's sunny, you need to be concerned that the reflection off the surfaces could be causing a sunburn. Up to 80% of the sun's UV rays can pass through clouds, which means that you can still get a serious sunburn on an overcast day. Now, it's a common misconception that darker complexions don't need sunscreen. While melanin does protect from a small number of UV rays, every shade of skin needs sun protection. If you have a dark skin tone, you've likely got a natural skin protectant of about SPF 13, but you need about SPF 30 for solid, reliable protection over numerous hours out in the sun. Now, no matter what your skin color, you're still at risk for cancer and wrinkles, dark spots, and burning from excessive sun exposure. Sunscreen is a crucial part of every beauty routine, but the white cast it can leave behind isn't always attractive. If this is an issue you've dealt with, be sure to apply your sunscreen at least 20 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes before you go outside so that it has time to soak into your skin. Also, use a separate type of sunscreen for your face if you can find a gel-based sunscreen, that's your best bet. You can also try looking for a tinted sunscreen or layer sunscreen on underneath your regular foundation or powder of your makeup. However, for the least toxic sunscreens, again, I recommend you go to the Environmental Working Group's website, EWG.org, and review which sunscreens they rate green, which equals safe. And also, be sure to look up your makeup products as well. Now, if you know what to look for, you can spot warning signs of skin cancer early on and avoid any danger of it spreading or going too deep. What's recommended is to do a full body check once a month in a well-lit room in front of a full-length mirror, using a hand mirror for areas that are hard to see. And what you'll want to follow is called the ABCDE rule. What this means is each letter stands for a different thing to look for. The A stands for asymmetry. One part of a mole or birthmark doesn't match another part of it. B stands for border. The edges are irregular, ragged, notched, or blurred. C stands for color. The color is not the same all over and may include shades of brown or black, sometimes with patches of pink, red, white, or even blue. D stands for diameter. The spot is larger than a quarter of an inch across. That's about the size of a pencil eraser. although melanomas can sometimes be smaller than this. An E, the final letter, stands for evolving. The mole is changing in some way. It's either changing in size, changing in shape, or changing in color. So you'll notice many of these are going to require that you're aware of what's going on your body. Now, if you're concerned about your back, you can even ask a family member to take a picture with their cell phone of your back once a month or once every 3 months, let's say, and be able to assess your own skin and be aware of if anything is changing. Now, a list of what to look for signs of each of the different types of cancer. So what's a list of what to look for, particularly in two of the cancers, signs of basal cell carcinoma? Some signs of basal cell carcinoma are flat, firm, pale, or yellow areas similar to a scar. It also could be raised reddish patches that might be itchy. It could also look like small, translucent, shiny, pearly bumps that are pink or red and which might have blue, brown, or black areas. Could also be pink growths with raised edges but a lower area in the center, which might have abnormal blood vessels spreading out like the spokes of a wheel. Any open sores that have oozing or crusted areas and which don't heal, or they heal and then they come back, are concerning. Now, a list of what you look for squamous cell carcinoma would be more rough or scaly red patches which might crust or bleed. You also, with squamous cell carcinoma, could have raised growths or lumps, sometimes with a lower area in the center as well. And again, open sores that may have oozing or crusted areas and which don't heal, or they heal and then they come back in the same area, is a red flag, and you need to get these checked out. Also, wart-like growths could be squamous cell carcinoma. Now, not all skin cancers look like these exact descriptions, though, and there's a lot of descriptions, so they can vary. So point out anything you're concerned about to your doctor, including any spots that are new, any spot that doesn't look like the others on the rest of your body, any sore that doesn't heal, redness or new swelling beyond the border of a mole, color that spreads from the border of a spot into the surrounding skin, itching, pain, or tenderness in an area that doesn't go away, or again, goes away and then comes back in the same area. Changes in the surface of a mole, such as oozing, scaliness, bleeding, or the appearance of the lump or bump changes in some way. And again, I've gone over a lot just now, so we are tomorrow going to list links and resources in our Discover Health Facebook group. So again, if you haven't already joined, be sure to join our Discover Health Facebook group. Just go to our Discover Health Functional Medicine Center Facebook page and request to join our group. And every month when I do these webinars, I give you the resources the day after. Now, tanning beds are not safer than the sun, folks. Whether indoor or outdoor UV rays, your skin will still suffer. And actually, indoor tanning devices can emit UV radiation in amounts 10 to 15 times higher than the sun at its peak intensity at noontime. So they are not safe. Also, tanning beds don't help your body make vitamin D. They emit mostly UVA light, while your body needs UVB in order to create vitamin D. Now, most people fear looking orange from a fake tan. But thanks to technology and lots of experimentation, that's highly unlikely nowadays. They've gotten much better with this. The key ingredient in the fake tans now is called DHA. That's pronounced dihydroxyacetone. And what this does is it reacts with the amino acids in dead skin cells to produce the brown suntan color. It is also this compound that gives fake bakes their characteristic, often described as biscuity smell. However, Dr. Lynn Goldman, Dean of the School of Public Health and Health Services at George Washington University, said, quote, "The substance seems to have a potential for what they call creating mutations or changing DNA in living cells. Now, most articles discussed inhaling this chemical, the DHA, from spray tanning methods to be the most concerning, as it can get into the lungs and also into the mucous membranes of your nose or your mouth. And that's what's going to cause problems the most for changing DNA in living cells and causing problems. Whereas topical creams and gels seem to be a much safer way to go. So if you love the way you look with a tan, but also want to protect yourself from too much sun, the American Academy of Dermatology actually has a video on their website entitled Self-Tanner, How to Apply a Self-Tanner Properly. And again, we're going to post tomorrow a link to that video in our Discover Health Facebook group. Now, if you live close to the equator or in a high altitude location, you're more at risk for burning. And please remember to take this into account when you're on vacation too, depending on where you're going. While there's no proof that water can help protect you from the sun, it is important to stay hydrated when you're spending time out in the sun. Carry water with you when you're spending time in the sun and aim to drink a lot more than you would on a typical day spent indoors, because you definitely want to be avoiding heat stroke. Once you come inside from a sunny day, one of the best things to do is immediately apply a moisturizer, oil, or an aloe-based gel to your skin. This will keep your skin hydrated and make it less likely to peel. You can even create your own do-it-yourself soothing after sunscreen with just 4 ingredients. What you do is, in a blender, puree 1/4 cup of jojoba oil and 1/4 cup of aloe vera gel. Then add 2 tablespoons of coconut oil and 2 or 3 drops of essential oil. You could add lavender, you could add orange, but just a couple drops of whatever essential oil you choose. And mix on a low, combine in your blender. Pour the ingredients into a resealable jar and keep it in the fridge for maximum relief after a day in the sun. You tried to take precautions but still got a burn. That's okay. Take these steps to heal your skin. When you get a sunburn, take frequent cool baths or showers and immediately apply a moisturizer to help trap water in your skin when you step out of the shower or the bath. Grab aloe gel and keep it in the fridge to keep it cool and apply it as necessary. Consider taking an anti-inflammatory like aspirin or ibuprofen to help reduce your swelling and, of course, the discomfort from the sunburn. Now, if your skin blisters, folks, do not pop them. Blistering skin means you have a second degree burn and you may cause scarring and further damage to the skin if you pop them. Don't do that. Take extra care to protect sunburned skin from the sun and elements as it heals. Wear loose, tightly woven fabrics that will help protect your skin from sun and also wind when you have a sunburn. So again, this class has been put together for you by using information from numerous sources. And as I've been saying, all of my monthly webinars, I post the resource links in our Discover Health Facebook group. So be sure to ask to join if you haven't already. So thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to join us on this webinar on safety in the sun. We absolutely love getting to chat with you and hope that you learn something valuable. Now remember, if you have any further questions, please post them in the chat box now if you haven't already. I'll be happy to answer them in just a moment. And you can also ask questions that will be responded to in our Discover Health Facebook group. So if you don't think of a question right now and you think of one tomorrow, go ahead and join our Discover Health Facebook group and post a question there. You also, if you don't have somebody that goes on Facebook, all you need to do is email discoverhealthcoaching@gmail.com, and our health coach, Trish, will be happy to read through the emails, questions, and she and I will discuss them and we'll get back to you. So again, that email address is discoverhealthcoaching@gmail.com. Now, one more thing before I take any questions. I'd also like to tell folks, if you haven't heard already, we've been boosting all over social media and we've sent out in our newsletter that I have a new book coming out next week. The launch on Amazon in Kindle is next Thursday, June 25th, and next Friday, June 26th. I also, literally just next week, on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, just like tonight, I'm going to do another presentation, and this time I'm going to be presenting about this new book. If you want to register for it, go to, as it says on this slide here, discoverhealthfmc.com. That's our main website. And then follow over to the events tab and click that, and it will take you to our events calendar. And just go to Thursday, June 25th on the calendar, and you will see that the event for the webinar I'll be doing on this book entitled No More Band-Aids 2.0, Finding Answers in a Broken Medical System, and you can register for next week's webinar. Folks, this book is not, I am one of the authors, but I am one of seven authors altogether. My chapter in this book is entitled The Missing Link to Healthy Aging. And if you want to learn what the missing link to healthy aging is, the number one, you need to come to next week's webinar, and number two, and actually should be number one, you need to purchase this book next Thursday or Friday on Amazon through Kindle. It will cost you literally 99 cents, and it's an amazing book. And I really would please ask that everyone listening consider going to Amazon next Thursday or Friday. And we'll be sending out more information about it with links and a landing page to help you be able to do this very simply. But I am very much trying to make sure this book becomes a bestseller. So if you could really help us out, it's a book becoming a bestseller depends on how many people buy it during the launch. And again, the launch is next Thursday, June 25th, and Friday, June 26th. So I'd really appreciate if you consider coming to the webinar and hearing what you're going to hear in the webinar is I'm going to host the webinar, but all of the other authors will be present as well. And I'll tell you about their backgrounds and then they'll be on and they will tell you about themselves and about their chapter and summarize it. So you can learn all about the book that's coming out next week. So I sure hope to see everybody that's here this evening on that webinar as well. Thanks everybody for coming. Everybody enjoy your evening out there. It's a gorgeous day. And we'll see you hopefully next Thursday, June 25th at 6 o'clock for my book webinar, and you'll meet all myself as well. And I'll talk about my chapter, The Missing Link to Healthy Aging, and then you'll meet the other authors as well. And then next month, of course, we'll do another topic. I honestly, off the top of my head, I've been so busy with the launch of the book, I don't even remember what the topic is next month, but we'll let you know through social media. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.